Thank you for standing by. Just need to inform all participants that today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. And ma'am, you may begin.
All right. Thanks very much. Gisela, could we have a roll call, please?
Okay. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's call, we have Mason Cole, Steve Holston, Chris Chaplow. From staff, we have Liz Gaster, Glenda Saint-Géry, Julie Headland, Ken Bauer, Scott Pinson, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. No apologies noted, and we are still trying to get hold of Fahd. Thank you.
Thank you, Gisela. Well, we have quite a bit of staff on the line, and I know that...
We have you outnumbered.
You do, too. Geez. So, Nairobi is rapidly approaching, and you all have a million things to do, so I am going to endeavor to keep this call extremely efficient on your behalf. So, I didn't send out an agenda. I intentionally didn't do that because I think really there's only one thing that we need to take care of, and that is settle on where the document is and then decide whether or not further action on the document is needed. Ken, you've sort of been on point for this. Is there anything else really that we need to address today?
No, sir. I believe that's it.
Okay.
Recognizing that just a comment that you have indeed sent Report 1 onto the OSC, and that matter is concluded.
That,
well, at least
correct.
For now it's concluded.
Right. Okay, very good. So I just want to ask, there's really only a few of us here on the team on the call, but I just wanted to ask, I found the report to be really, with Ken's updates, in pretty good order. Is there anything that anyone would particularly like to talk about? Scott, I know that you you sent your email this morning, and I'm happy to talk about that, but I wondered if there's anything that stood out from the report that anyone wants to use this time to discuss.
Well, it's Liz. I mean, you asked a couple comments on some of the text or questions that some of the text that I inserted, and, if we could just go through that, maybe
sure.
Respond to those things. And if there's anything, I added a lot of ideas a few. And mostly what I wanted to do was just reassure the team that they were just ideas. If people think they're good ideas, that's great. I'm glad they're helpful. But, they were really just food for thought, because if there was one area that seemed like it needed just further creative juices, was this whole area of coordination among stakeholder groups coordination among SOs and ACs, and then also with the GNSO and the board, and I've had some thoughts about that. So I just wanted to be sure to caveat, or that people knew, that my ideas really were just ideas, and, they should feel free to, challenge or question anything that doesn't seem workable or that it would achieve intended results.
Okay, well, Liz, why don't we just lead off of that? Why don't we talk about the comments that you just noted, and then if you want to discuss some of your ideas, I think that'd probably be a good use of our time.
I mean, I think they kind of thought, well, let me just answer a couple things specifically, and I've got a heavy cold, so I may not
answer
all of this, but you had asked one question, I think it's on page 6, about the examples that I cited about... that GNSO working groups were convened following work of the SAC. And the only reason that I put that in there was really about how important communications among these SOs and ACs can be, that to be illustrative of, examples where work of the SAC immediately had an impact on work of the GNSO, where the GNSO took work of the SAC and, took it on and went further with it, to make the case that there is a lot of synergy between and among the SOs and ACs, and that it was valid, a worthwhile endeavor to try to acknowledge that and enhance the processes. So maybe in the, an extract, we can make that a little clearer about what those examples are, intended to convey, but that's all it really was. Because in the preceding sentence, we talk about much can be gained from improved information sharing, and I think it's instructive that, things that the SAC are working on then become, in several cases recently, the GNSO's turn to then address them right away.
Okay, yeah, so the examples are just meant to illustrate that when you do have cross-functioning or cross. I don't even know how to term it. When SOs and ACs or other bodies within ICANN are able to share information, sometimes that leads to collaboration where you may not have, where maybe before it wasn't available.
That's right.
Yeah.
And certainly to acknowledge that topics of interest to one SO or AC may very well be of interest to another.
Right, and it prevents work being developed in parallel without the other side knowing.
Well, yeah, that's just sort of setting the stage in terms of the problem statement, but later on when I, you know, throw out some ideas, there were a number of advantages, I thought, to greater intercommunication and collaboration, and that's certainly one of them, so that you don't have efforts in parallel that aren't informed by the other. And then I could think of, you know, a number of other reasons, too, like there could be input from, let's just say, GNSO people to, I'm trying to remember what actual topic it was on, where there was, the ESAC was working on some issue, and forgive me for not remembering which one, it turned out that the GNSO had a lot to say about the report but didn't have an opportunity to really comment on it or influence it until it was already an advisory that was published. And so
right.
By getting involved in the process earlier or having some consultation, the ESAC would have the advantage of being informed by the GNSO or expertise, you know, policy expertise really in the GNSO that could inform some of their technical considerations.
Got it. Okay. Okay. By the way, just as a matter here, Julie or Ken or someone, are you making notes as we go, or should I be doing that?
This is Ken. I'm happy to have the pen, although I haven't quite heard anything yet that would cause me to draft or write anything.
The one thing that I think would be helpful is in that one paragraph where I give the examples on page 6, where I say, for example, maybe that could just be changed to say, following are some examples of instances where the GNSO had particular interest in work of the ESAC and, you know, et cetera, to make it clear what those are, the purpose of those examples, to Mason's point that they weren't so clear. That's just one place where...
I couldn't quite capture all that. Can I just copy that paragraph out and drop it in an email to you, Liz, and maybe you can reword it and I'll drop it right back in?
Sure.
Will you like it?
That's fine.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good. Thanks, Ken. Okay, Liz.
So, you know, Ken had some great edits. I think a lot of it is clarification. I think there were cases where, just in reading this afresh, we wanted to be clear, for example, this issue about simplifying complex terminology. Ken and I both had edits to this, and I think it was really, the way it was written before, it seemed like there were really two points being made. One is that sometimes people use terminology that's overly or unnecessarily complex, which is particularly difficult in a multilingual environment where English isn't everyone's first language, and we should try to simplify language where possible. And that's one point. And then it seemed like there was a second point being made about, sometimes we're in an effort to find consensus, we brush over, if you will, areas of contention which could sort of unintentionally make statements ambiguous or oblique and not clear because they're trying to finesse these areas of concern, and that might be useful in terms of reaching high-level consensus. But there also could be a downside to that. And again, I was trying to read into what I thought was not very clearly written before, that by doing so, it could make it harder to identify what, in fact, are areas of disagreement that should be probed further among the group in order to try to reach consensus. So that I think these edits are designed to make both those points, but to clarify, you know, why diplomatic speak might be a negative thing, because if you just look at the term in quotation standing alone, it might sound like a positive thing.
Mm-hmm.
And often it is a positive thing to speak diplomatically, but you don't want to speak so diplomatically that you lose the kernels of controversy that might ultimately need to be solved.
Right.
Okay.
So, in other words, we've simplified the language in this section so
that's
that right. The idea of simplifying language is clear.
Right, right. And hopefully this is what the group was trying to say about the diplomatic speak. I mean, in trying to simplify and put a finer point on what I thought was confusing, hopefully I've articulated what the group was trying to, you know, or approved the clarity of that. And if anyone on the call thinks I've not understood what was...
No, I think you have. I mean, it's just my own point of view. I think you have that when we started all this, one of the ideas was sometimes in the ICANN world, people just don't speak directly or clearly about a problem they're trying to solve. And if we can just get back to simplification, you don't really have to talk like a UN ambassador in order to satisfy everyone in the room when really the meat of the problem needs to be dealt with. And I think you've captured that pretty well here.
And then, you know, as you go further down in the document, like
hey, can we before we move on? This is Ken. I'm wanting to be task motivated here. I'm prepared to accept the changes in 3.2. And in fact, I'd like to get clarity as we go through all the sections that I can just go ahead and accept these edits, and then we can produce another document maybe quickly and see if we're okay. I'll delete the comment. Fair enough.
Right. Yeah,
Ken, why don't you just fall back on accepting all of these, except where we tell you differently.
Yep, agree.
Okay.
Because I think each of us probably feels generally quite good about this document, except if we speak our mind. I will say a couple points to note for you, Ken. One, please clean up the table of contents, because all of the headings that have now been edited were not reflected in that.
Okay, thanks for the note. I'll be sure to do that.
Yeah. And there's also one small point on 4.1 to jump back there, and we've been talking about clarity and so forth. I think if you delete "and reducing obfuscation," you will achieve the goal of
reducing obfuscation.
In reducing obfuscation. I don't think there are many non-native English speakers who know what obfuscation is, and I actually had a logic teacher who had a little note on her bulletin board that said, eschew obfuscation, which is sort of a joke as to let's improve clarity. So just a suggestion there.
Anybody want to substitute a word?
Yes, this is Scott. I want to... pile on Liz's discussion on 3.2.
But wait, I want to get a word for obfuscation first.
I think you can just add that. Just put a period after clarity,
and you're good.
Increasing clarity, period.
Good, thanks.
Scott, go ahead.
Well, the other thought that I thought might be worth capturing in 3.2 is the other downside of overly diplomatic speak is that oftentimes it's not actionable because it's not clear what it's really trying to say. So besides finessing areas of concern, I was wondering if the group wanted to add, you know, it unintentionally confuses issues and also can result in recommendations that are not actionable.
That's fine with me.
Sure. Do you have a specific edit to give me? Or if you like, I can send these paragraphs to you just like I did with Liz.
No, you just add, and they're not actionable at the end of the sentence that says direct and candid discussion and recommendations that are not of contentious issues and recommendations that are not actionable.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, I've done that.
Okay, hold on. I'm gonna reorder things here for a second. So, Steve, do you have other points you want to address in the document?
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay, Chris, how about you?
No, I am as well. Yes, you know, just basically, I think almost everything can be accepted. I think it's great that all this work's been done on behalf of the staff of the team, and here we've got this document in front of us. That's fantastic. Thanks everybody for that.
Yeah.
One thing, the language section. Where's that? That's a little bit light. I don't know if others agree with it. It's about my only comment. Let me try and jump. You find that now.
Do we call the number?
Is that the translation?
That's
issue?
That's 4. Yes, 4.1.E.
Yeah, and I agree with that point as well. I still think that that's one of the more important aspects of this communication team is how you get a broader engagement by people who do not natively speak English, and I don't think we cracked the nut of a translation policy.
I think you're right.
Is translation included in this group? Is that a task of this group?
Is translation included in what? I'm sorry.
Is the translation, sort of issue of translation overall, included as a task in this work group?
Gosh, yes.
Okay.
That was a recommendation, I think, that that Helen and Phoenix working on. Didn't that get folded into our one of our recommendation documents?
Yeah, I think it did. Yeah, that was Helen's Phoenix task.
Which one are we looking at right now? Which is it?
4.1 section E. I don't think there's anything else in 4.1 about this. I don't think there's anything else in the document about. Yeah, Ken, I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
As I recall the discussion, they discovered that there was already an existing translation policy that ICANN had published at the time. It was a year back, and simply ICANN was not adhering to it. So this recommendation is, it's already been done. It's that ICANN is not adhering to it for apparently budgetary and process reasons.
Well, I think we ought to make a more clear point of addressing the translation and language issue, because if we've got to find it and then read into 4.1e that's what we're talking about, developing consistent localization policies and multilingual vocabularies of often used terms, I don't read very clearly in that all of these documents, policies, etc., should be translated into various languages.
Yeah, I agree with that, and I'm just hesitating to think about the best way to, because that's obviously a whole category all its own. I think it was also something that they were looking at in the context of, PDP and working groups, too, because that's so much an issue in our working groups as well. We should have a cross-reference to the translation policy, and actually I'm hesitating, is that a public translation policy? I think it is.
And I think that suffices, Liz. I think that's a good idea, and we should encourage adherence to a broader translation policy, because we as a communications working group trying to improve the GNSO are but one portion of the ICANN community, and yet certainly to improve communication within the GNSO, it should be in multiple languages, accessible to more of the world.
One thing we might do here, I don't know if people like this idea or not, but it strikes me that we have a new public participation director. We have a translation policy that I think the GNSO actually uses, and the policy group uses perhaps more even than other departments within ICANN. I think there's an initiative to look at this more, and that perhaps we should also talk to the public participation manager. This might be something that we acknowledge needs more work in the community and suggest something like that based on efforts that are underway right now that the GNSO make a point of looking at this in a year's time or something like that, to reevaluate in a year's time or some, you know, appropriate time frame, how the implementation is going, how effectively it's reaching, you know, under access communities, and what kind of enhancements might be made, you know, for example, budget for the future. The other thing I'm thinking is that we're coming up on a point where, you know, we're asking the community for input on the budget for fiscal year 11. And, of course, translations and all of this kind of localized language support is expensive but very important to the community. And it also strikes me that a recommendation could come out of this to urge the GNSO Council, other councils and constituencies to weigh in on the importance of translation, you know, adequate budget for translation for, and, you know, describe the way people, you know, to make their opinions known, their viewpoints known about the need to budget adequately for this. Because it does, I think it's timely given the budget that we're soliciting viewpoints from the community on the fiscal year 11 budget right now.
Okay, so I think I heard a couple of recommendations in there. One is there's not a lot wrong with what we're saying right now, but we need to make more explicit that ICANN needs to adhere to its current policies on translation. And In a year's time, we should review translation in light of the help me with this, Liz. We should review the whole idea, but we should review the status of translation capability in light of budget priorities.
The effectiveness of it in reaching underserved communities or you know, under access communities.
Okay. Okay. Does anybody object to having that addition made?
And then the third concept is recommending a budget that we encourage the GNSO Council and you know, other interested stakeholders to recognize, you know, if they're providing feedback on the budget, if that's an important issue for them, to identify that as an issue and what they think the need is.
Okay. So
there'd be three recommendations out of that.
Okay. All right. Does anybody object to those having those recommendations added?
Chris, here, that's fine.
This is Ken. Liz, would it be okay to add that paragraph to your other list? You seem quite articulate in being, and I don't think I could do justice to it.
Sure.
Super.
And we might be able to pull it off the recording too, just because I don't know if I'll get to it today, but tomorrow I probably can.
Okay. Okay. All right. Let's see.
Can I bring up another point?
Yes, Chris, I was coming back to you. Yep, go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually the final one, the very last paragraph of the whole document, which is great, but I think we should make it a bit stronger as a recommendation. Perhaps the council might consider some form of follow-up and tracking, etc.
Okay. Do you have a suggestion? Page 14, the very last paragraph.
The conclusion.
That's a good idea.
Because if there isn't any follow-up, then there's in danger of this just, you know, nothing happening really, is there? Or threat of follow-up.
True.
What we could say is something like, the CCT feels strongly, is strongly committed to the idea that there are very good opportunities to enhance communication and coordination both with the board and with SOs and ACs, and you know, we view it urgency is maybe too strong, but that there be compelling benefits to implementing these recommendations as quickly as possible, and to reaching out to the board and to other supporting organizations and advisory committees to implement these recommendations directly. Or maybe it could even be that you recommend that staff take, I'm making this up as I go, I like this.
I was thinking more about the recommendation that there be some form of review in 6 or 12 months or in the future to sort of cross-check.
Right. So it could be both of those, right?
Yes.
Direct staff
yes.
to implement post-haste with other SOs and ACs and suggest that the council assess the status of that progress and also the overall state of communications in a year's time. I like both those ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Chris, does that get at what you were driving at?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Thank you.
Okay, good. Steve, any thoughts on that?
I concur. Sounds
okay.
good.
All right. Anybody else?
This is Scott.
Yes,
along
Scott.
Those same lines of trying to, you know, draw the lines in ink rather than pencil, should we take up the notion of asking for readability checks on documents?
Oh yeah, the issue that you brought up. What do folks think about this?
Can you give us? I happen to have up on my screen the affirmation of commitment, for example, in a Word document. And so you'd go to Tools, Spelling and Grammar,
yep.
Options.
Yep.
And what do you see from there? Because I see all kinds of checks that say check spelling, always suggest corrections,
yeah.
show readability.
That's it. That's it. One
so
of
how do I get that?
Statistics.
How do I get the readability statistics?
You just enable it by putting a check mark in that box.
Yeah.
And then whenever you do a spelling and grammar check, when it's done, it throws up this little box that tells you what the readability is. It starts out with the word count. Then it's really interesting because it also tells you.
Scott, how do I get that? The if I've
once
checked
then,
readability statistics, then how do I actually do the readability check?
It cannot be done independently, as far as I know. It becomes a second result from your normal spelling and grammar check. So when you tell it to spell check the document, at
how
the
do you
end,
do that?
That it would be Tools, Spelling
actually
and Grammar.
I don't see it either.
You don't have it either, Liz?
I don't even see Tools.
Tools is in the menu at the top, the horizontal menu across the top of Word.
Scott Pinson, Microsoft navigation expert.
And Liz Gaster, total abject failure, because I don't even see that.
Well,
do you have
and
Word
I'm,
open?
I'm raising the example just so we can see how it actually works and how hard or how easy it is.
Obviously, that's a very good idea.
Yeah.
Well, if you know how to spell check your document, it will show up at the end of the spell check once you've enabled that option.
So Scott, let's just talk about this conceptually. The idea of doing this would help ICANN how?
Instead of just saying, gee, everything should be easier to understand, that's a very subjective measurement, and someone who's written a very incomprehensible document could say, yeah, I'm doing better now, and we don't really gain anything. So if you have something objective that measures this, at the end it says what grade level you have to be to understand the document you've written.
Right.
And if the team wanted to, they could pick some grade level they feel is appropriate and say, you recommend that documents be checked and that if they come in at higher than, I'll just pick a number, an 11th grade level, that they be revised until they're understandable, at that level. Or another possibility is another statistic it throws at you is how many words per sentence you're using.
Yeah.
Journalists target 15 words a sentence in order to be very understandable. Our current document, by way of example, averages 27 words per sentence.
Yeah.
So another way you could go is you could request, the average words per sentence not exceed 25 or, So all I'm doing is trying to suggest the possibility of objective measurements so that people who embrace what we're saying will also be equipped with a tool to tell whether they're complying with it or not.
So I see this more as a suggestion than a mandate, right? Because some things might be just impossible to express that way, or, you know, be too burdensome, or not work, you know, if it's a legal document or whatever, you know.
Or a particularly technical document.
But I see this as a useful tool, and that I think it's something that, since none of us were really familiar with it, lots of other people aren't going to be familiar with it either. And also, I'm having trouble actually. I'm getting closer to getting it to work, but not. I'm not there yet. So I think it would also be very useful, perhaps as an appendix, to maybe provide the instructions or.
I agree with you, Liz. I mean, this my own one guy point of view is I think it could be a useful tool. I agree it should be maybe put in as a suggestion, you know, that if you strive to make things particularly readable and understandable, that you certainly don't have to conform to a particular standard, but this is a tool that can help you ensure that whatever you're producing is understandable by the widest possible section of the community.
Yeah, I like the idea of putting it in generic terms, because I don't know, for example, on a Mac is, not Microsoft.
Yeah.
Because under tools, spelling and grammar, if you go to the options that I found now on mine, if I click on the options, then under one of the grammar options, show readability statistics, you've got to tick that. And it's great because it's something I think I saw it 5 years ago and I've completely forgotten about it. And it would be good to, because the OSC is asking for something, you know, a little bit concrete in places, so there's a good concrete thing for us to put in. Again, only as a suggestion. And then other people can pick it up, can't they, in the future, and maybe build on it. We just plant the seed in the document.
Scott, what do you think of that?
I definitely agree. This has always been, you know, in the category of where possible or where feasible, because we actually cannot assume that every person who ever authors something in the GNSO has Word, especially as, you know, more people from other countries get involved.
Right.
But
I thought Microsoft was everywhere, is it not?
Well, there are people who refuse to use it on principle.
I know.
And you have Google members on the board who will push Google Docs, I suppose.
That is true.
So I definitely agree with your line that it could be included as a suggestion or as a helpful guideline, and certainly not as a mandate. But I think people would like knowing about this and being able to use it at their own discretion.
Okay. So I might ask then Scott if you would help Ken by writing something that he could put into the document.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you could tell me exactly what you have in mind and where you'd like to put it, that'd be great.
Okay.
Now, for example, that you showed us how to do that, I do see that the affirmation of commitments has a Flesch Kincaid grade level of 17.4. What does that mean, Scott?
Great 17th grade. You're like a PhD candidate.
Right.
That's it. Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
High school, college, and a year and a half of grad school in order to read this thing.
I don't know to tell you something. Okay. All right, folks. All right, so I left off with Chris, and then we went to Scott. Chris, do you have a follow-up?
Yeah, it's just a risk of stating the obvious. The date on document 1's got to go in on 1.4.
Yeah, I put it in already. Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Yeah, thanks. Okay, good. All right, Scott, thank you for bringing that out. Anything else we want to cover here? Anyone else? Floor's open.
So I gather from the reaction of the group, it's Liz, that the specific things about, you know, for example, creating a mechanism for the, you know, council to talk to the board when there are issues in front of the board, that, you know, so that there's more of a dialogue, and, you know, and the active engagement of liaisons, and the specific things that are all in here. You know, I wrote it in such a way that it's, you know, the CCT thinks this, and the CCT concurs with that, and I just want to make sure, you know, that you all agree with, and are comfortable with, you know, those detailed suggestions, because I think there are things that staff, you know, if everyone's okay with it, we would proceed to try to, you know, I mean, I know this will go to the OSC and to the council, but then, you know, we would be prepared to implement to try to actually make these things work. And before I, you know, did that, I want to just give you a chance to say, you know, because since I'm using your voice here, that you're comfortable with these specific ideas related to stimulating more conversation and more productive conversation on key issues between the board and the GNSO and the GNSO and the other SOs and ACs.
Yeah.
Cool.
Seems good to me.
Well,
yeah, okay, I concur.
There, that was easy, wasn't it, Liz?
It was.
There you go.
You guys need to move over to some of these other working groups. Nail some stuff out.
We're all about simplicity here. Okay, all right. Anything else, folks?
This is Ken. We've been jumping around. There are still a bunch of comments I'd like to go through.
Sure, go ahead.
Okay. I'm going to just start at the top and make sure I haven't lost anything here. Okay. So I'm going down through section two. I've tried to accept all the edits we've been going along here.
Okay.
So we have the paragraph in 2.2 that Liz has agreed to help with. And going down into 3, everything's fine. Now, in 3.6, degradations in civility. We reference 4 sub-bullets. Communicate online with respect, listen carefully, take responsibility, and keep criticism constructive. And my comment was, you know, we can leave it the way it is, but it strikes me that there's a connection here to ICANN's standards of behavior. There is a document that exists. Do we just want to say the CCT thinks that somebody should start really administering that policy, or I mean, what is our recommendation there? We're claiming that civility is being degraded, but what is our recommendation?
I guess we should remind people to review that policy or recommend that ICANN send that policy out to the community again to remind the community of those standards.
That's a good one.
Yeah, what I would suggest, maybe I could just make a suggestion here, and that is, ICANN has clearly stated its expectations, and then just provide the reference to the.
I like that. I actually like that better.
And take those bullets out.
Yeah, I like that better.
Okay, fine. Now I'll do. I got the ball on that. I know how to fix that. Okay, sliding on down. I've accepted everything, and then we got 4.1e, and Liz agreed to do some writing on that. 4.2. All right. So Mason, there was an edit about the a comment there about why the board is capitalized.
Oh yeah, is that just a style thing or what?
Yeah, I've always seen it capitalized.
I don't really care. I was just curious.
So I actually thought Scott could be our grammar maven here, but what I actually thought somewhere from, you know, elementary school was that you capitalized when it was a specific board, but you didn't capitalize when it was a generic board. If you're just talking about boards of directors, you wouldn't capitalize, but here we have the ICANN board.
Yeah, if you refer to it as a proper name, then it becomes capitalized, but if it's referred to.
It's a shorthand here for the ICANN board because we mean a specific board. And that's why I thought it was capitalized, but it's not intended to, like, elevate their status in some way. It's inappropriate or something.
Yeah.
I think it's fine to capitalize it.
I really don't care.
Yeah. The next comment, then, this is Ken, is Liz's, what does this mean, relates to but many can be, I think?
No, it was the immediately visible.
Where's this?
I suggested alternative language to immediately visible. I put it's on, we're at 4.2, first bullet, and I suggested that we say not all objectives can be fully anticipated rather than are immediately visible. I mean, it was just because I wasn't sure when I read it what the immediately visible would mean. think I knew what was intended, but I just thought it was sort of it was terminology that I was afraid would be confusing.
But you're okay with as written right now, right?
Yes.
Can we take out "but many can be" or just leave it?
No, I want to leave it.
I think you need to keep that.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Super. We're done with that. Down under 4.3. Let's see. I added this new section, and there's. I just asked if we needed any more in the introductory paragraph.
Just in that first paragraph, make greater GREATER.
That's a good catch. Mm. Spell check doesn't catch.
That's right.
Yeah, I got that.
No, Ken, I think that's fine. I think it's fine. It's simple and direct.
Okay, fine. Then I'm going to go ahead and accept all of that material. And then we go down to 4.4. I think everything is good there. We don't have any comments.
No.
And 4.5 is okay, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we like 4.6, except if we have anything to add from Scott. 4.7 is good. All right, 4.8, there's a comment. Seems like it would be helpful to provide more content here. We have to be careful that the recommendation is not a violation of itself.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so... Well, let's see, what does this deal with?
Is that your comment, Ken?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Scott. I've noticed that many of the working teams now, their charter defines specific questions that they are being asked to answer. And I wonder if we want to allude to that here.
Yeah, I want to read this again here.
Yeah, it's like we start to say it in the preceding sentence. The CCT recommends that working group charters be drafted with careful attention to the issues or questions that should be considered and the outcomes desired.
I'm not sure what
we could say.
I'm not sure if the point of my comment is clear. It just became clear to me. and that is that we make an exhortation comment here, right? Somebody should do something, but are we clear about what it is we expect and what it looks like? And so, in a sense, the sentences we write are guilty of not achieving what they tell others that they should do when writing charters.
Got it. Nice circle we just ran ourselves in there. Yeah.
So of course, there is a working group charter guidelines document that the working groups team is developed that's in draft form for public comment right now.
Oh, really?
So I actually think that maybe, Ken, you could check Marika's draft, but you might be able to simply say here that you recognize that the working groups team is suggesting more precision to working group charters, and that this group concurs that's necessary.
Yeah, I was just wondering. Yeah, I can do that for sure. I was just wondering, you know, what our evidence is that charters are badly written.
I'll bet you Mason and I are going to think of exactly the same example it wasn't adequate.
You go first, Liz.
Never mind. I withdraw the question.
No, I'm involved in a work group right now that I don't want to be undiplomatic at all because I just don't. But the post expiry, team, Pedner that's looking at it's been wandering all over the map, and you know it's not lack of clarity in the charter, it's lack of execution afterwards. So I actually wrote that. You know, with my experience on that team in mind, so now that I think about it, maybe it's not that we're not setting proper context. It may be that we have very specific questions that are presented in a charter to be answered, but then they really aren't.
I would suggest calling out both, because I think the quality of working group charters, my own opinion, is that they've evolved to be better and tighter since I've been at ICANN. And that, you know, so you could acknowledge that charters are already being drafted with more precision, and that the working groups team is codifying that or memorializing guidelines to make that happen. This group, and then you could go on to say this group also notes that part of the success of that is contingent on the chair and the group sticking closely to those charters.
Okay, I like that.
Ensuring that, you know, outcomes follow the expectations defined in the charters. I guess there's still a question of, well, what's the accountability mechanism there? But I think that would go back to what the working group charter, like these guidelines for example, as a participant in that team, Mason, how you might present that concern to the chair, individually, or if there's a subgroup that feels that way, and then how that gets handled. Like, if, for example, if you didn't feel you got adequate response from the chair or recognition of that point of view or adjustment of the management of the group, that you could, like, appeal to the council. You know, I mean, there is a process there that I think takes us out of the remit of this group probably, but which, is valid, number one, and, you know, is worth looking at that working group's chartering, which is out for comment, and making sure, like yourself, like if you want to file comments on that, it might be something that you have a particular interest in doing.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask Liz if you wouldn't mind capturing that and giving it to Ken, because I think you're right. I want to make a time note here. We have about 8 minutes left to go, and there's a policy briefing call at 11 that I suspect a lot of you have to be on, including me.
Okay.
So, Ken, are you good with that? If Liz just supplies you some thoughts on that paragraph.
Yeah, I think I have a sense of what needs to go there too. Well, we'll collaborate on that one.
Okay.
4.9, I would do the same thing as before. We would just substitute the ICANN standards of conduct for what's there. And then 5.0, is there a comment? I make a comment here that mostly what I picked up here, other than some adjusting the language in that last paragraph based on the earlier discussion, it's just pretty much a rehash of what we said in Report 1.
I'm sorry, you're looking at – which one are you looking at?
5.0 conclusions.
Okay. So you're saying you're okay with – you're okay with – hold on. So you're saying you want to adjust this after we get 4.0 in shape?
Just a question. Just wondering if the team likes.
Steve and Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I haven't really noticed any problems. I'm just comparing it to number one at the moment. Not forgoing what we said about that last paragraph.
Yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, I think I'm okay with it too. Okay. I don't think you have to reinvent the wheel on that one, Ken.
All righty. I'll delete that comment, and that takes me to the end. I'll try to. We've got just a few things to do here. We'll see how soon I can get out another document. It'll be a few days, I think, before I'll be able to get another clean document out, just given other priorities and things going on with Liz. But, you know, I would say, what is today? Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, early next week, maybe Tuesday. Is that timely enough to get another document out to the team for review?
Okay by me.
Yeah, okay.
Did we lose Mason?
I don't know. This is Scott. I'm going to exit because I need to get on the other call and start recording it.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Scott.
I'm going to jump off too, but I'll definitely work with Ken on the next draft and appreciate the call and all the great feedback.
Yeah, it looks like, just in summary, it looks like we're in pretty good shape.
Thanks, everyone.
Yep. Great.
didn't have to lift a finger, and I really appreciate all your help.
Well,
thanks,
well
folks. Have a great day.
Bye.
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 Cheerio, bye.